Speaking of harmonious, harmonious agreement, this is the Nerds in Love podcast.
Hey!
With your non-homo guest, Corey, and your non-homo other host, Carlos.
Hello.
And me, the confirmed non-homo. I got to the end of it.
Have I mentioned that I'm heterosexual today?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm bi, so technically not homo.
Oh.
Oh.
It's like when you go to comments on like Reddit or YouTube, and people are like, "Oh, you know, Matthew McConaughey, he looks pretty nice." Hashtag no homo. It's like,
and then someone in the comments is like, "I'm a vegan."
No homo. Sometimes
we have a doctor in the room. I'm a vegan.
Being vegan is just the worst fate known to man.
Always letting you know.
So, in case you just fell off a truck, this is the dating advice show for nerds. Yay. And apparently, my sister-in-law, who is the first email of this week. "Sorry if this is frequently sent, but I really need advice in this area. Either my friends have met
Carlos
someone..."
Wait, I thought Carlos was
going to read it. Oh, yeah. Carlos, you should read this one.
Oh, I'm reading this one?
Yeah.
Can I just make a fangirl of you anyway, so...
I was going to say, Curtis, I don't think you finished your sentence, because I thought you were going to say that... you said, obviously, this is my... What is it? Sister-in-law, but I thought you were going to keep going saying that she needs dating advice, but I guess she does, because she's sending us an email. Anyway,
yes,
I will
does.
Now read her email.
Yes.
Right. "Sorry if this is frequently sent, but I really need advice in this area. Either my friends have met someone in a way that seemingly could only be true in cheesy romantic comedies, or they are just as single and therefore just as clueless as I am. I'm a 24-year-old woman who has had a couple of long-term relationships and got out of my last one about 2 years ago. Since then, I have tried several dating sites and apps of varying seriousness, ranging from Tinder to Bumble to OkCupid to Match.com and even eHarmony for a bit. To be clear, I am looking for something serious, and I am at the point in my life where I am looking to settle down. I have been on several dates, but nothing has really stuck. I get a ton of messages that I have to sift through on each dating site, and it's getting quite tiresome. Are there any other good ways to meet people? Signed, Haley..." And in brackets, Kurt's sister-in-law. But I don't think she wrote that. I think Kurt wrote that.
I added that. That was my edit.
Good catch.
Haley, I read your message.
Yeah. I actually read her message.
Well, we did. It was a combined effort. Well, Haley, my advice is ask Carlos out and all will be right in the world.
I mean, I guess.
Gotta take him to go see Star Wars. He hasn't seen that enough times.
I actually do want to go again. I'm not going to lie.
Me too.
There you go, Haley.
Yeah,
so that would be a very good date idea. I agree with Kurt on that one.
Yeah, I'm full of great ideas.
So it's a quick way to win my heart. If you're like, "Hey, Carlos, want to go see Star Wars?" I'll just be like, "Fuck yes."
Haley's going to smack me for saying this on air, but I caught her listening to the podcast and laughing at all of Carlos's jokes. I thought it was really cute.
Aww.
It's pretty funny. It's like, the fuck? Like, that's our podcast. Okay.
How'd you find out, though? Like, did you hear what she was listening to?
I heard from a source that's very close to me, who I may be sleeping with.
Right. I heard from his source.
All secret source. Source, deep voice.
It's more like deep pussy. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, Haley, I'm going to give you legit advice.
Wait, that wasn't legit advice? Bullshit.
I always give legit advice.
It's an option. How about that?
I feel like Haley...
That's option A. What's option
and this B? Is... I'm kind of a little biased because I know you a bit, but I think you have to level your expectations for the people you meet. I mean, if you're expecting every guy to be Prince Charming, then, you know, when the guy's like a decent guy, but he's maybe not Prince Charming, you're just going to be like, oh, not worth my time.
Well, one thing I did notice in the message was it says you get a ton of messages and you sift through them, but it doesn't seem like you're... It's like just from the way that it's worded, it doesn't seem like you're giving a lot of those messages a lot of, you know, time, yeah. Right? Saying you're just sort of sifting through them. Now, I know you said you've been on several dates, but I mean, obviously there's going to be some messages that you should definitely not respond to because you can just tell right away that they're trash. But
of course,
even if it's just halfway decent, I think you should probably, again, if you're serious about looking for something real, you should probably, like Kurt says, sort of like, you know, expand your horizons a little bit. Like, don't immediately, like, throw away as many messages as you probably are.
Right.
Possibility. Yeah.
And I know people do that because we live in this culture, especially on online dating, where it feels like it's an endless well of choices.
Yeah.
And which we is just unfortunate always figure.
Because it creates this very, like, you know, like, you're looking for an excuse to reject someone, to, like, be like, nah, because I'm going to get 5 million more messages by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Or at least that's what you think, whether or not that's actually the case.
Yeah, someone better comes along.
And that's really unfortunate because a lot of people are alone because of that. Because of that sort of, like, culture that's been created by all of these online dating apps. So if they're causing you some angst, I would suggest, you know, just being sort of a little bit more open about who you're willing to give it a shot.
And you see this a lot. Like, I know I'm the oldest on this podcast, so I can kind of say from like my friends and people I know, like a lot of them do this where they sort of say, oh, you know, like, you know, I haven't met the right one, and they wait until they're like, you know, like late 20s, early 30s or whatever, and then they feel this like fear that they're gonna grow up alone, and then they just sort of rush into, you know, the closest thing, right? And it's like, you know, there's probably 20 or however many other people that they met that would have been an even better choice for them, but they went from, you know, being way too strict on what they were looking for to all of a sudden just being like, oh, whatever, this works.
Yeah, that happens to a ton of people, especially usually when they hit around 30, they start to like freak the fuck out, right? Because they're like, oh my god, I can't be alone. So whoever's next to you, you'll grab and like hold on to for dear life.
Yeah. So it ends well for anyone.
That's not the best way to go.
And, like, the thing is like, I use the example of Megan, right? Like, you know, Megan, when we first dated, she fucked up. And it's like, I could have used that against her for, you know, however long. But at a certain point, I was just like, you know what? Like, she's a really nice person. Sure, she fucked up, but it's something I can forgive. So, move on.
Hmm. Yeah, $5,000 being stolen. Hmm.
Well, it got returned. So, with interest.
With
yeah, so yes, Haley. I mean, the real short answer of all of this is just ask out Carlos. He'll take you to go see the X-Files, even though it's on TV. You know, I'm sure you can work something out. Plus, you know, Haley normally lives in Montreal, which is a hopscotch away from where Carlos lives. So, just saying, Carlos. Yes.
Skipping a hop. There you go.
Yeah. The next is from Alan. Tim Allen. No, I was kidding. It's just Alan. My girlfriend is out of state at the moment. My girlfriend and her mom are very close. She also lives with her mom. Would it be weird if I take the opportunity now that my girlfriend is not at home to drive to her mom's house and tell her how much I love her daughter, my girlfriend, and that I want to marry her? Alan. Oh,
a little bit, I would think.
There's so much to dissect here. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should have stopped the brakes five times before. First off, have you even met the mom? Because it doesn't sound like you have. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you get the impression that he's met the mom?
I mean, he says that him and his girlfriend and mom are close, so I assume, and she lives with her. So
I'm assuming that you've run into this person at some point.
Yes,
if
exactly.
If you haven't, right there, stop.
Yeah. If you haven't, then yeah, stop. But if you have, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, why wouldn't you, don't you need to like tell your girlfriend that instead of her mom?
Also, another red flag. You haven't talked to your girlfriend about this. Another red flag for me, Do you guys live together? Because if you don't live together, you should probably do that.
See, just see how that works out for you first. Because that's like the most stressful part of a relationship is moving
actually
in together.
Not necessarily according to relationship statistics, which indicate that actually couples who live together first before getting married are actually statistically more likely to get divorced. So, science.
Okay. Well, science says not. But still, there's a lot of red flags here. Yeah. Also, just going to talk to the mom without talking to her first. That's my big thing. But if you haven't even met the mom yet, which you haven't indicated in this, it's probably like a good reason to just stop, you know?
Yes, and if you have, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily to tell. I think it's just the way you want to approach it. Like, how to approach her. Like, do you just want to talk to her and see how mom she feel about it?
Also, too.
Or is this sort of like, you're just, I'm giving my notice. I'm going to marry your daughter. Feedback later. It's like.
Also, too. Think about it this way. If this backfires and your girlfriend finds out that you basically went, you know, and maybe she might see it this way, that you went behind her back to talk to the mom. She might be a little peeved. Because, again, if the mom maybe isn't a big fan of you or whatever, that might explode in your face, too. So I think, really, the whole thing is here is put your brakes on, do a proper read of the situation, and really just think about it. Because it seems like getting hot to trot in the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also,
and yeah, this just seems, again, this seems like something you should be talking to her about, not her mom.
Also, how old are you, kid? I'm going to guess you're a kid, because this seems like something teenagers would do.
Jeez, so what did we just talk about 2 minutes ago? The whole judgmental thing.
Sorry. I'm just saying. Sounds like a teenager. I want to marry this girlfriend. We've dated for 2 months. I love her. I'm kidding. Jonathan, whose email doesn't even have a question.
Nope.
But luckily, he put it in the subject line, so I know what he really wants to know.
So how did you know? Well, I'm guessing you sort of like looked at it. You're like, that's like the subject line's supposed to be nerds in love, but this guy did not follow the rules.
Yeah. He just doesn't like to follow the rules. Jonathan's a rule
fucking
breaker.
Rebel.
God dang it, Jonathan.
You're such a fucking badass, Jonathan. People say movies are a no-go for a first date because you're watching a movie rather than getting to know each other. But we've worked together for a few months now, and we talk a lot. We both know a fair amount about each other. Now, what he really wants to know is, should he take this girl on a first date, or should he, you know, do something else?
Well, I mean, if the problem is that they are not going to get to know each other through the movies, I don't really see the problem, because apparently they talk a lot and they do know each other, so what's the issue here?
Yeah.
That's different because of the fact, like, when they're talking about that whole, like, don't go on and, like, get to know the person first, that's, like, first date as if, again, like, you don't know who this person is, really.
Right, or, like, you just ask them out or something.
Little. Like, this seems like someone that you have a genuine working relationship with, and, like, it's not like you're just meeting this person for the second or third time.
Yeah.
So, I would say that it's probably, I mean, like, if you want to go see Star Wars again, and that was just what you wanted to do, then I'd say, you know, you can make it happen.
Yeah, plus you can have dinner afterwards, it'd be something to talk about, right?
Yeah.
I always sort of think, too, that, like, this is just my opinion, but I don't think it really matters if you've known each other for a while before, or, you know, if this is your first date. You know, if it's like, well, I know I just said that, but if it's your first date, and it doesn't matter, like, what your pre-going on this first date history is, I still think you should try to make a memorable date, as great as movies are. I don't think that really screams to me a memorable date. I mean,
what is he supposed to do? Fucking go bungee jumping?
Well, no, but it's like something like I'm just saying, like, if you go see a movie, you know, he's touching on a point here where you're not really going to get to know each other. But even beyond that, though, it's just, is it really going to be memorable? Is it really going to be something that's really going to just magically and, you know, just grab her, right? Like, I always think, too, that, like, the best first dates are ones where you at least do something creative. And I don't mean that, again, movies aren't fun, but just put a, try to at least put it, let me put it this way. I would put a bit more effort into it, like, you know, maybe take her to a restaurant or go bowling or, you know.
Restaurants aren't creative.
That's not great at all.
And bowling isn't really that creative either. Like, are you kidding me? Bowling? If someone asked me out and was like, let's go bowling, I'd be like, what the fuck? I don't fucking want to go bowling. You're going to buy me a nice dinner, damn it.
Now, Corey touched on this. If you're going to go see a movie, at least go to a restaurant afterwards.
Yeah.
At least you can still salvage your shitty uncreative date and do something.
Or, you know, you can go bowling after the movie. How about that? Get your legs going.
Or just don't go bowling.
Or you could just be like, let's boff at my place. Get down.
No. How about we just get right to work, you know, skip all this
dating. No, like, you know, like, a lot of the people that I know who have been in long-term relationships, and even with myself and Megan, it always comes down to, like, you know, what was that first date? Like, can you remember it? And, you know, someone's like, I don't know, I guess we saw a movie. I don't know. It was like, all right, like...
Well, then take them to see Star Wars. That's a memorable movie. They'll remember that, won't they?
They would also remember Fant Four Stick. Oh!
I remember gouging my eyes out and wanting to murder him.
Never forget.
There is no Victor. Only Fant
Four Stick 2.
Never
forget. Age of Herbie.
Yep.
All right. The final email this week is pretty much like three emails. Or four emails,
fucking
maybe
novel.
Even five.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure this is like the war and peace of nerds and love emails.
And okay, guys and girls listening, we have a new rule: three paragraphs max. Okay, none of this. Don't do what fucking Steve did.
Yes, Steve, you piece of shit.
And write down a complete log of your first three dates.
I'm pretty sure this is life story.
I'm sorry, Steve. I'm really happy that you emailed us.
You put a lot of effort and thought into this, though. I mean,
I appreciate
it.
I'm glad
that being said,
fantastic, but like, I'm pretty sure this is J.R.R. Tolkien and not Steve.
Yeah. Again, people, new rule for Nerds in Love, three paragraphs max. And if you say, well, how long can the paragraphs be? Standard paragraph length, okay?
It's five sentences.
Like, this is a new rule, just because this email, like, literally made me want to just quit Mankind today. I'm like,
oh, God.
We have to fucking read this. Anyways,
it's why you have co-hosts. We got you. We got your back.
It's okay, because I was ready to have an aneurysm from reading this, so someone has to take my back.
Okay. Hi. I have gone on three dates with this girl I met off Tinder before she friendzoned me. Dates one and two were good. Date three seemed different at dinner. Day one, I picked her up. It was a cold, super snowy day. We went to the keg. When we walked away back to my car, she held my arm to avoid falling. At the end of the night, she kissed me on my cheek, and when I hugged her, I paid for everything. $100. Damn. You know, the keg was super expensive.
You idiot, it's the keg.
Yeah.
I'm saying the keg.
Okay.
Oh, to them, okay.
Before you proceed, when you go to the keg, just tell them that you just got engaged, and they'll give you all your appies and drinks for free.
Is that like a Canadian place?
I guess so.
I guess, because we both know it and you don't.
No, yeah. Not here.
Well, anyway, but basically what we're saying is that the keg is expensive and you should know that.
Yes.
Moron.
Sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
She was a bit sick but came out. She and I liked history, so went to the museum. I spent most of my time with just her. Her female and guy friends were there too. Despite them being there, we continued hanging out later alone. Had dinner, walked a bit where she held me arm. She and I then martini. That's what it says.
I know. I'm looking at it right now.
And I make out with her there later.
She pushed back,
me
back
onto me lucky arm.
She pushed me back, probably because of the PDA. I then took her back to her car. During the ride, she asked what I was looking for, and I said that despite Tinder being known as a hookup app, I wanted something a bit more. But I'm not expecting anything, just going with the flow. Well, the flow led to some more kissing with some tongue action. Yay. We hung out for a couple of hours. She paid for the ticket, and I everything else. Okay, day three.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
Day three. She's telling
is there going to be a pop quiz later?
God, I hope not. She's telling me she is still sick. We'll come out to a paint tonight. Paint night.
What is a paint night? Can someone tell me what that is?
It's when you all go and there's canvases and everyone just paints.
Oh, okay.
But where?
Well, there's drinks, too.
No, but, like, where are paint nights held?
It's just at people's places.
Oh, okay. So it's like a, okay, I get it. Or it's like a
yeah, it's like a social thing.
Okay, I didn't know if there was like the keg of paint night places.
Fun fact.
How did you go to the super expensive paint night place? God damn it!
Yeah.
I made humor, and it seems to be going really well.
I made humor!
We painted for 3 hours, but then we go for dinner, and these are the only issues I could think of. I didn't realize places in downtown Toronto close at 10 p.m., so we went to this Italian restaurant we found. A homeless guy asked me for money, and I didn't have any cash change. I really didn't. He starts yelling at me to call the cop. I'm standing there getting confused and frustrated. We then both walk away and tell him to shut the fuck up. I exclaim that I wanted to kill him, not literally, because he annoyed me. We have dinner, and the conversation seems to be going really well. During dinner at some point, I was not holding eye contact. Could that have been it? I haven't really touched her by this date or attempted to hold hands. Could this have been a factor? We eat, and I pick up the bill. I paid for everything on this date. We go back to the car, and I try to kiss her, but I feel like I forced it. I went in 67%. The kiss was not passionate at all.
He's got a percentage.
67%? How do you know exactly that? How do you get to that number?
Also, too, downtown Toronto. Jeez, Carlos, he's your competition.
I was going to say, dude, I probably would run into this guy on the street or something at some point, and I wouldn't even know.
Probably. Because he's not passionate.
If this guy sent me another email saying, this is where I am, I could probably get to him in, like, 90 minutes.
Probably.
The only reason I said, that's the worst kiss we have had. She explained she's sick. I could drop her home and felt like the vibe we had was lost. I ask her if she still wants to kiss despite being sick, and she comes in and kisses me. Then I ask her if there's a fourth date, made it as a joke, because at the end of every previous date, she'd say, definitely a second-third date. She told me definitely a fourth date. I encouraged her to call me because, well, I just like texting. Well, I couldn't text her every day because I get busy. Aftermath. Well, there was never a fourth date. I told her I was a supply teacher since meeting her, but I didn't tell her I was studying to be a software engineer, okay? I am finishing in April. I felt it was a good time to tell her over the phone. Thought for sure I would have made her more attracted to me.
Oh, God.
Instead, 4 days or so after that third date, while texting, I said, I would love to see you again. She says she loves hanging out with me with a smiley face. I felt great, but then she says she has, but is only looking for friendship. She claims I went for the kisses, which is true, but she also eagerly participated? It makes no sense. Is it me or her? I'm 28, and I have been single for too damn long. I need to learn. Questions. God. Did I mess up hard somewhere? Am I overthinking this, or can I improve for the next time? Should I be friends with her? I have never tried this before. I'm so confused. No. Steve.
Okay. I'm going to dissect this and analyze it. First off,
we need to get a very in-depth anal cyst.
Isn't that what we always ask for, though? We're always asking for more answers, and this, he covered this.
He gave us what we wanted. Now, okay. I think where you went wrong, first off, is that she was probably just looking for light, whatever, and you were like, I wanted something a little more serious. That probably weirded her out.
Well, he's being honest.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? She went on the third date, so it probably was one of those things she was probably like, we'll see how it goes. Now, I think what probably killed it for you was telling the homeless person that you wanted to kill him. I'm sorry.
That was probably not a good look, because, I mean, that's sort of like the sort of thing that you needed to sort of keep your cool in. And quite clearly, you did not keep your cool in that scenario.
Yeah.
Well, and she also told him to shut the fuck up, so maybe she participated?
I guess that's true.
But well, and the thing is, too, is, you know, people will always judge you on how not only do you treat your date, but how you treat the other people, like baristas at the coffee shop or the waiter at the restaurant. So by telling this homeless guy that you wanted to kill him, she probably had a lot of red flags racing in her mind. I think that's really the two main things that I see that messed it up for you. As for overthinking it, I think you're not quite seeing what you did wrong, because you were like, I didn't make eye contact. I don't think that was it. And, you know, trying to hold hands, I don't really think that would have helped. I think,
yeah, especially since you already tongued her, so.
Yeah, I think you're kind of missing what you did wrong here. And obviously I just went over what I thought you did wrong. Should you be friends with her? No. Move on. This sounds like it's done. I mean, she's not going to, you know, understand. Also, too, the one thing that I missed, you lied to her. She's pretty bad. I mean,
lied. What did he lie to her about?
He said he was a supply teacher, but then he ended up telling her that he was the software engineer.
Oh.
And you know what?
I thought that was, he was a supply teacher, but he's also studying to be a software engineer. That's not a lie. That was just...
No, but the thing is she's going to probably read it as a lie.
That seems a little bit weird that you would have three dates that all apparently have long conversations, but you never brought up the fact that, like, what you're intending to do with the rest of your life. You never really brought that up. She might... If anything, she might be wondering, okay, is this guy literally just a supply teacher with no other ambition at all? Because that might have weirded her out a little bit. You should have probably mentioned what you want to do with the rest of your life at some point within three long, meaningful conversations.
I mean, I think the fact is that the fact that he said it at this point, she's probably looking at everything else and probably just thinking, like, oh, he's just a little bit crazy. Especially after you told the homeless guy that you wanted to kill him.
I think that's the worst thing.
I think that's, like, pretty bad, though. Like, honestly, even for me, like, even when, like, I'm around Megan, like, I never get angry at people. Like, I want to, but then I'm like, I know she's going to judge me on this, so I have to, like, behave. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people forget, even not just dating, but in life in general. It's like, people are going to totally judge you if you get angry at somebody, so you really got to be smart about it.
Even if they deserve it.
Even if they deserve it. Sometimes you just got to be like, shucks, that homeless person is really annoying. But you know what? I'm just going to keep my cool and show that I'm the better man.
I bet it was Jordan.
I bet it was Jordan.
I bet that was the homeless guy.
No, I bet it was Baron. Homeless wizard, man. Anyways, what do you guys think? Or did I cover everything?
I'm interested in seeing what Corey has to say.
No, I think Curtis did a good job covering things, although I would like to point out the whole passionate thing. I mean, what you told me, she's been sick for two dates in a row. I think that might have been an obstacle right there. Also, why are you telling someone who's apparently sick? That's just gross. But honestly, I think you should maybe, like, try again. Like, just ask her straight up when you're both better to maybe try for another date. See how it works out. And if it doesn't, there's no passion there, then yeah, I'd say move on.
And kill it and run.
Also, too, I mean, this is probably not true. Mm-hmm. I know I just said don't lie, but just tell her that your third date, because it sounds like everything kind of went downhill on the third date. Just tell her, like, oh, I was having a really bad day that day, or something like that, you know? Like,
I mean, I guess that's not really wrong, because if it screwed up the whole thing, he's probably not having a good day.
Yeah, but she also living out with him anyway, so.
You know, I think that's really, like, if you really like this girl and you really want to make it work, that's probably what I would recommend, is be like, yeah, I was having a really rough day, and see what she says. But I wouldn't do the friend thing. I mean, the friend thing is always kind of, I mean.
Nah, just if she doesn't bite, then take it and run. Or say, don't take it and run. Just, I don't know, take nothing and run. I don't know. Maybe take $5 out of her wallet and run.
Or, you know, don't be a thief.
Or, you know.
Don't pull a Megan.
Threaten another homeless man.
Might as well go for broke.
Yeah. Is that it, I guess? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything to add, Carlos? Anything to add, Carlos?
No, I think we covered this particular email.
Yeah, extensively.
Steve, if you want to, you know, work with Carlos, you know, you guys can go on a double date or something. Email us and let us know.
I definitely don't want to go on a double date with Steve. I don't want him to, you know, say that he wants to kill me because I, like, I don't know, eat my food in a weird way or something.
I like Terminator Genesis. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Anyways, if you like this podcast, please email us with more questions.
That are three paragraphs or less. In love in the fucking subject line.
But you know what?
Where it goes.
If that was going to be his email and he wasn't going to put that question in the email, I'm glad he at least put in the subject line. So at least do that. But yeah, preferably include your question in the email and make the subject line Nerds in Love. Who do you guys think is the better reader of emails? Carlos or Corey? Email us and let us know. We'll have to settle this. You've heard both read emails, but who's the better emailer? Email reader. Just kidding. You guys all rock. I guess that's it. Right. Yes, next time, three paragraphs or less.
Or I'm gonna actually read them anyway.
Or if it's three paragraphs or less, I'm going to delete the email.
Oh, come literally. On.
I'm not kidding.
This is our audience.
What if someone really needs help, though? Besides, I didn't think it was that. It was actually pretty funny to read such a gigantic email.
Yeah, I mean, he went over everything, which is what we always ask for. We always want context. I mean, this
is our basically of emails. If you're making a gigantic email just to make a gigantic email and screw with us, then screw you. But if you really feel like you need the space, then use it. But just be wise about it, you know?
Or how about this? Write what you're going to write, and then just before you hit send, just look it over and try to trim the fat. I think that's an acceptable expectation of our emails. What do you think?
I guess that's good, yeah.
Okay. I guess it's a good compromise.
Editing is always good.
Yeah. Oh, and just be like, I'm just asking for stick. Yeah, like, be like Fan4Stick.
I was talking about in terms of text, but...
No, I know. I was making a joke, Carlos.
All right. Speaking of jokes, let's end this joke of a podcast. Bye, everybody.